Well, good morning, Calvary Church family. Man, God is good. So great to be with you this morning. If you have your Bibles, turn with me, Galatians chapter 4. I'm going to get on my horse because this is a wonderful message, a tale of two mothers and their son. And so if you're new this morning, we've been going through this powerful book of Galatians, and what you have is in this book, it's really a letter of Paul who had gone into an area of Asia and had preached the gospel, seeing people come to Christ, and churches started from that work. And as Paul continued on to advance the gospel in other areas, behind him came false teachers and who came in and preached, yes, you must accept Jesus as your Lord and Savior. Yep, everything that Paul said, but there's more. They added to the gospel. And they distorted the gospel. So these false teachers came in and began to spread this false gospel that was very similar to that true gospel. But anytime you add to the gospel, you have no gospel at all. And so Paul reminds us as we come into this that if you preach a different gospel, if you change the gospel, if you add to it, it is not the gospel. And so as we come into this part of Galatians chapter 4, this closes out the chapter. We'll be looking at verses 21 through 31 this morning. And this can be a difficult passage to navigate. So I really need you to fasten in. So if it helps you to take notes, get your pen and paper out, because I'm going to do my best to go through this pretty quickly today. But if you're not paying attention, so like if you drift off, if you open up your app to see who's winning the first NFL games on the day, hey, they don't kick off for 40 more minutes. If you're trying to see, can I burn leaves today? So you're checking the burn permit. Hold off on that, because if you get distracted on a minute, you're going to miss it, because it's real easy to miss on this. So there's a couple points that I want you to capture today, and because as we walk through this, Paul's going to give us through these verses, 3 points, really. The first one will be a historical situation. The second one will be an allegorical interpretation. In other words, he takes the history story and creates an allegory interpretation of it, which can get a little bit hairy, and that's why I want to help us. Then thirdly, Paul gives us some practical application of these passages. So let's pick it up. Verse 21, the first point again. Paul gives us some historical situation. So look at it in verse 21. Tell me who you want to live under the law. Do you know what the law actually says? So in other words, what he's saying is if you really understood the law, you would know that the law tells you not to be under the law. The whole purpose of the law was to what? It was to point to Christ, to remind us of our own sinfulness. The whole purpose of the law was to be able to let us understand that we violated it and that we need a Savior and that we could never, even by trying to keep the law, we would never be able to do it, which leads us to verse 22. And one of the wonderful parts as we get into this historical situation is Paul uses Abraham as a great example. And this is the wonderful part. And maybe you've started to catch on to this as we've been going through Galatians, but Abraham is used 8 times by Paul in this letter. And it's appeal to them because they've been influenced by false teachers, which, again, we're coming from the Jewish background here, that Abraham is a hero of the faith. And he should be even ours too. Not only as the founder of the Jewish nation, but really he's the founder of our faith. We've all sung the song, if you grew up in church, in a kid's church, Father Abraham had many sons. Many sons had Father Abraham, and I am one of them, and so are you. So yes, so you know the song. And so Paul is using that familiarity going, yeah, right arm, left arm. No, he's not using the song, but he is using Father Abraham. And he's saying, look, let's look at verse 22. The scriptures say that Abraham had 2 sons. One of them was from his slave wife and one from his freeborn wife. The son of the slave wife was born in a human attempt to bring about a fulfillment of God's promise But the son of the freeborn wife was born as God's own fulfillment of his promise. So let me walk back. We won't turn there, but let's go back what he's talking about here. He's talking about the whole life story, Genesis chapter 15 to 21 in Genesis of Abraham and Sarah. And God gave Abraham this promise that you would be the father of many nations. And how do you do that at that point when you are at that impetus of the dream, 75 years old, and Sarah's in her 60s? So all my ladies in your 60s, how would you love it if you were told today, guess what? 9 months. Some of you are going, mm-mm. Or you'd laugh, just like Sarah. I mean, there's a part going, how's that going to happen? But God is clear on this dream. And Sarah, it resonates with Sarah too, because she so badly wants that. And so when you get to Genesis 16, about 10 to 11 years after that dream, they're still believing, but nothing has happened. There's been no heir. And so what happens is many times, like any of us, when God has spoken to us, and just like he could have spoken at an altar, he's spoken in your personal time about a situation that you're believing God to come through. And time goes on, and because you haven't seen the answer yet, what do we often so tend to do is rather than keep waiting, keep praying, keep seeking, ask, seek, knock, what do? We take matters in our own hands. And that's exactly what they do. Sarah says, well, maybe this isn't the route, and brings Hagar into the situation, one of her servants, and has Abraham sleep with her, which gives Ishmael. And one of the sad parts is, and this is the amazing parts when you look through the story, God shows clearly that he will put his blessing to be the father of many nations, even through Ishmael, because the whole Muslim faith will trace their faith lineage to Ishmael. And so here's the interesting part, is that's why we still have a global conflict today, because Isaac will represent Israel. And the two are not compatible whatsoever. That's why there's the natural clashing that some point you're like, if you didn't know this story, you'd be sitting there going, why can't people figure out how to get along with? What is the big deal going on? And it goes all the way back to this moment. This is the root of the conflict that we have. And it's because that conflict is you see two spheres, one that was by spirit and one that was by human effort. And that's why there will always be a conflict. But even in the midst of that, God still shows that he puts a blessing, even over Ishmael, because you're watching that nation grow. And yet, Abraham's pretty clear on this, but the fulfillment of the promise was through Isaac. And we get a better understanding as we roll through this. I want to bring up the next slide, if you don't mind. So I want to give you this picture just so that we have the historical information in good picture. So you have a slave, which is Hagar. Hagar is a slave. So through human effort, Ishmael is produced. And here's the amazing part, because when you get to Genesis 21 and you get the story where Isaac is conceived, because what occurred between Hagar and Abraham to produce Ishmael, that's biological. That's human effort. But when we get to what God does through Sarah and Abraham in chapter 21 is nothing but supernatural, and you cannot remove that from the equation. Because at this point, Abraham's 100 years old. Sarah is in 90, early 90s. And so you're sitting there going, that is like if at the point when they got the dream, if that wouldn't have been amazing enough. But to have somebody in their 90s, 100, to be able to do, that is, and it is completely supernatural, God's power, plain and simple. It's just not biological. And so when we start to get this picture, and this is what Abraham is trying to help understand, is what Jesus has done on a cross is part of the supernatural family branch of God's power at work. And so he uses Abraham as an illustration to help them understand this. And let me take it onto another level, because really you could apply this. Ishmael and Isaac could represent two different approaches to religion. So look at it this way. Pull the next slide if you don't mind. You have slave, which we are, but the law helps us realize we are a slave to sin. And the best we can do is our human effort, and it's all focused on what we can do. And when you look at all other religions, including the Muslim religion, it all talks about what we do to be right with God. It's all our approach, what we do, what you have to do. And that when you look at Isaac and you start to realize this approach, it's by the Spirit of God, God's power. God so loved the world that he sent his son. It was what God would do. It was God stepping forward into our world saying, you could never do it in your best day. Your best efforts will never get it accomplished. It's by God's Spirit, God's power, his love. It's what God can do. And so this is the part Abraham is trying to bring out here, is that this is the situation. This is the historical situation, and you have two approaches, and those false teachers are trying to take you back to be a slave. A slave that, and to know the depths of who God is, what he has for you, you will never find it through human effort. You're going to only find it in faith. And that leads us to the second thing that Paul helps us to see, is Paul gives us an allegorical interpretation. And so just to help you write this down, and help you understand what Paul's saying, bring up the next slide on the screen if you don't mind. And so you need two columns to do it. So I tried to do two columns to help you kind of get an idea of one column that brings a covenant-based relationship, which is on law and works, and the other one that's a covenant of an agreement between you and God. A promise from God to you, a relationship between you and God. So when you see it, here's Abraham and the whole story, Hagar, she's a slave, it's all works and law. But then you have Sarah, who's a free woman, she is married to Abraham. She's a free woman in the sense there's a marriage relationship here that God will bless. Ishmael, it's all about flesh. We talked about it. It's just a biological, it's our effort. Isaac represents the Spirit, because Isaac would not be there if it was not for the Spirit working in this miracle that brings God's promise, which is a reminder, when it all works, it's just do, 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 right? We talk what do, do, do is, kind of like it sounds. It's a pile of it. And it's the opposite of the truth is, when we serve by faith, we live by faith, and when we do that, what we receive is grace. See, and when we get into this, what's so amazing, in fact, we'll go to this verse 24. These two women serve as an illustration of God's two covenants. First, a woman, Hagar, represents Mount Sinai, which people received the law that enslaved them. And now Jerusalem is like Mount Sinai in Arabia, because she and her children live in slavery to the law. So in other words, as we come to this, verse 24, this may be interpreted allegorically. I mean, Paul's leading it out like this. You have two women, you have two covenants. One is Mount Sinai, which, what's the importance of Mount Sinai? That's the mountain that God comes down thunderously to Moses. We get the law. And it's just, here's the amazing part, is we start to get that understanding from that moment. We get the Ten Commandments. But even in that, how was Israel's response? Because they could hear God speaking to Moses. It terrified them. It freaked them out. So like when Moses is coming down, it's like, don't ever do that again. This is like frightening. This is scary. And And so Mount Sinai represents the law that shows us that we will fall short. The law cannot save us. The law reveals our sin. And then in verse 26, we see the contrast, but the other woman, Sarah, represents the heavenly Jerusalem. She is the free woman, and she is our mother. The heavenly Jerusalem and Sarah represent this new covenant. Sarah was never a slave. It's not, and so what she represents is not a covenant that's by thou shalt or thou shalt not, but it's a new covenant where God's the initiator and God will save us and God will adopt you. It's all about God. God will give you an inheritance. God will bring you out of your sin and into life. God will change you. It's not what we do. So there's the big difference between the two. And Paul, as typical as he is, man, and this is why I want you to really take time to think through these passages, because Paul then bursts out into a song, and having been raised in Judaism at the time, and Paul had been bound to it, but he comes across a song that reminded him. So look at verse 27 in Galatians. As Isaiah said, rejoice, O childless woman. You have never given birth. Break into joy. Shout. You who have never been in labor, for the desolate woman has now more children than the woman who lives with her husband. And I want you to see this because this is a virtually direct quote of Isaiah 54, verse 1. Sing, O childless woman, you have never given birth. Break into a loud and joyful song. O Jerusalem, you have never been in labor. For the desolate woman now has more children than the woman who lives with her husband, says the Lord. See, Paul sees that prophecy not only as a fulfillment of the return of exile to the land, but man, he's beginning to see the future plan that God has. And this is where Paul is laying out this course here, that one day it's just not the Jews, but it's for Gentiles, and we will all be one in Christ, that anyone who calls on the name of Jesus will be saved. And that beautiful unity, that there's no separation, whether it's by race, by gender, there is no division. Anyone who calls on Jesus, the wonderful unity, the oneness in Christ. So finally, I want to, so you get that allegorical interpretation. Third, finally, I want you to see what Paul gives us. He gives us a practical application, because really you're going, what all does this mean to me? Well, let's get into it. Four practical applications for us. One, we are children of the promise. Look at verse 28. And you, dear brothers and sister, are children of the promise, just like Isaac. The inheritance, the promises. We are children. And so, you know what? Here's the beautiful part. Isaac didn't have to work for his inheritance. And I really want you to capture this. There was no effort for Isaac to receive that promise. It's just the fact all you had to do is be born. And it's the same way in our faith with our God. You have to do nothing. Isn't that a great, nice low bar? Just breathe. Just be born. And watch God come through. And that is the part that Paul is trying to bring to us, is a reminder that that just as Isaac was part of the family and had the full inheritance, completely, totally, as a son, in every sense of the word, that God is doing that for us. The whole idea is that God loves you in the same way that Abraham loved Isaac, and only more. Because he's God, and Isaac, man, Isaac didn't have to do anything to earn it, which makes keeping rules really ridiculous, doesn't it? Trying to do anything that has to be based on works is so meaningless and so counterproductive. But when we start to realize just how much God loves us and how much he loves you. A second application, we may be persecuted. Look at it in verse 29. But you are now being persecuted by those who want to keep the law, just as Ishmael, the child born by human effort, persecuted Isaac. the child born by the power of the Spirit. So if you go back to that story in Genesis, you will see parts where literally Ishmael makes fun of Isaac, makes fun of his standing, makes fun of his name, because Isaac's name actually means hilarity, laughter. And part of that was part of the faith story, not in a negative, but Ishmael wanted him to feel that. He wanted him to feel that intimidation, like, you're a freak. Kind of hear that today, don't you? Are you one of those Jesus freaks? And so I want you to know that this persecution, like even that we see in the story, is in the basis roots. Because when you live by faith, it's going to be different and perceived different from the world. And so you're going to be bound to have persecution that's going to come because of that. Isaac experienced it, and it goes on. But it's an amazing part. The hilarity of the story is really the beautiful part. Yeah, Sarah's in her 90s. That's crazy. Abraham's 99, 100 years old. Yes, it would be on every tabloid TV. It would be on every tabloid you'd have in the grocery store. Abraham and Sarah, right next to the UFOs seen in Mexico. It would be right there, all face forward. People laughing about it, making fun of it. It would be on every comedian on late night TV. And yet, you know what? This persecution is still happening today. Whenever you battle faith and works relationship. And let me give you one application of the truth of that in our world today. And this isn't going to be popular in the U.S., so I know it. But it's true. The biggest persecutor of the evangelical church in Central and South America and Eastern Europe is the Roman Catholic Church. The biggest persecutor of the evangelical church in Russia and many parts of the Eastern Bloc, like in Greece, is the Greek Orthodox Church. People who are steeped in legalism and have a religion based on works righteousness will always persecute those who are free in Christ. And so you just might as well know, be prepared, we will be persecuted, always. And Paul, and you know his story, some of it, you know how it worked for him. He's one place after another sharing about Jesus, sharing about the gospel, and it doesn't always go well. He's always facing persecution. Because once you start talking about freedom and you start saying that the law isn't necessary, it brings out the worst in people. Third application for us this morning is freedom in Christ can only be preserved by abolishing the bondage to the law. Look at verse 30. But what do scriptures say about that? Get rid of the slave and her son, for the son of the slave woman will not share in the inheritance with the free woman's son. Now, that's a whole lot, all right, says a whole lot about people that focus in on a works-based religion. They will not have the same inheritance as a free person. And there comes a point where either you have to understand that we're saved by grace through faith in Jesus alone, and there's nothing else to it. And that is our source of freedom. That is our source of blessing. And it's not about laws. It's not about dietary laws, rituals, or laws that you keep. It's all by faith in Jesus alone. Finally, fourth application. If you're working to gain God's acceptance, you're still in slavery. If you're working to gain God's acceptance, you're still in slavery. And I hope that thunders for some people today. Because some of you try. Sometimes you might even say it, I try hard to know God. And there's a simple part, it's all by faith. Yes, our effort is involved, but that effort comes in faith that God, I just depend on you. I'm not going to take matters into my own hands and try to do it. When it feels like there's no answer, I'm going to keep asking. I'm going to keep knocking. I'm going to keep believing. I'm going to keep trusting. So really what this is coming down to and is it's all this. It's your motive. Some of you want to walk with God based on what you do and not what he did, and you're absolutely missing it. And as a pastor, I don't want you to miss it. Because if you some of you are boaters in here, so you would get this analogy. Like if you launch out of here, if you're off by 1 degree, just 1 degree, you're off by miles. If you're in, so because there's part of you going, what's the big deal on this? This is the big deal. Just 1 degree takes you miles off course. And when you repeat that over a lifetime of a long journey, you're not talking about miles. You're talking east to west. And I don't want you to miss what God wants, what even Paul is speaking to this Galatian church. And it's a great message for us today. It's not what we're talking about. Is when we trust God by faith and we keep walking in that. And how do we stay strong? It goes back to that word from the Spirit today. Is you become people that listen to his word. You feed on his word. Because you don't listen to the messages. It's what does God's word say? That becomes the compass that brings us back on course in our faith. We keep being people dependent in prayer. Listening to the Holy Spirit leading and guiding us throughout the day. When we become people that are in that by faith, it's a vast difference. Because I want you to capture that you have a heavenly Father who planned your salvation. You have a heavenly Father who planned your forgiveness from past, present, future sin. We have a heavenly Father who planned for your forgiveness. He planned it all out. Here's the beautiful part. He planned our adoption papers. He had them written up before you were born. He knew your life. He knew you, and he knew the potential of your life. And so he's drawn up the papers that he wants to know you. He has a promise, just like to Isaac, and it's nothing you have to do in your own effort. Just trust him. See, because I want you to capture this, because Abraham delighted in Isaac, all right? Just like many of you have kids, you delight on your kids. Like, I'm just telling you, the best birthday present I got was not the Nebraska game at Arrowhead Stadium. So as I'm processing this passage, even this week, it's like the greatest gift was not that. It was time with my kids. And I love my kids so much, I want to spend time with them. I want to bless them. I want to help protect them. I want to walk life with them. And that's what Abraham becomes an example of, and that's what Paul wants to make sure at the Galatian church doesn't miss, is that we have a God that wants to walk with you. He wants to have communion with you. And he doesn't want you to miss it by 1 degree. He wants you to know, I have willed your existence before you were even a gleam in your parents' eye. He knew you. And he is committed to you. You have a God that is committed to you, that some of your current, what you might feel is failures, we have a God that will take those failures and make it into something beautiful. He can turn all things to good for those who love him. Romans 8. He will do that in your life when we live by faith. But if you're trying to do what you do, if you try to feel like you have to be some way to measure up to God's acceptance, you're missing it. And you're walking in a slavery that God does not want you to have. All you have to do is trust him. Walk in faith with him. And watch what he will do in your life. Because you have a God that loves you. He is committed to you. Do you see it today? Because this is what Paul is sharing to the Galatian church, and it is the word God wants for this Calvary church. He wants it for this area to know that he loves you and he is committed to you. The law loses its attraction the more we start realizing it's not by our human effort, but it's already what Jesus has done on the cross for us. So we can stop trying, we can stop the doing, and live in a faith with him. Worship team, if you come, I want us to close with just an opportunity today by just let me ask you a couple questions. Simple questions. Have you been saved by grace through faith? Or are you still relying on what you can do to get you to heaven? What are you depending on to get you to heaven? Is it by God's grace through faith, or you're relying on something else? And second, if you've been saved by grace through faith, let me say this, are you still trying hard to get a hold of God to somehow earn his favor and trying to make yourself more acceptable to him? It's one of the great things to know that God loves you. You don't have to try to dot the I's and cross the T's, try to live this created perfect list mind that you've created in your head, that you have a God who you might feel distant is suddenly near. Because one of the things about a works-based religion is it makes God always seem so distant when he's always right by you. And he wants you to know that he's for you and he's with you. He's provided everything you need in his son, Jesus Christ. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, this is the best news, that you're not angry with your children, but you delight in them. We've been set free from trying to follow a system of religious laws. We've been set free, God, from anything that we feel that we've ever committed in the first place. We've been set free when we trust by what your son did on the cross for us. God, you have done for us that we could never do for ourselves. How wonderful. God, I pray that the truth that we're hearing today will continue to penetrate our heart, penetrate our spirit. God, may it pierce our mind, permeate our being. Lord, may we come to that place to have that grace-filled life of joy. Help us to be the people to recognize the grace that you have placed in us. Man, we cannot give what we've not received. How can we give grace to others if we've not received it? Lord, help us, God, to walk in this. And Father, I pray for those today who don't know you as their Lord and Savior. God, those who are away from you, Lord, I pray for those relying on a system of rules or laws, or God, making their own definitions of morality, God, or spirituality to try to achieve what you've already done by grace through faith. God, may they come to you today. With heads bowed, I need to ask this question. If you're here today and you just know it, you've been trying to do it yourself, and you're just kind of realizing, man, I feel like I keep having to try to measure up, and it's what I have to do, and I'm realizing today it's not that. It's by faith. So if you're here today and maybe you've walked long ways away, you've been off more than just a degree or two, but today you realize, man, I need to get back in the direction with my God. And I need him to be my Lord and Savior today. So whether that's for the first time or rededicating yourself to him, if that's you, would you just look up my direction? I just want to pray with you today and help you to start into a new relationship of grace. Thank you. Is there anyone else? If this is your heart today, I want Elvis to say this prayer for those who mean this. Dear Jesus, come into my life. Thank you for loving me in my sin, loving me in my disobedience. Forgive me of trying to do life my own way, my own works. Be my leader and my Savior. I trust what Jesus did on the cross for me. Save me and change me. Transform me. Help me to walk by faith in you alone. In Jesus' name, amen.
If you prayed that prayer this morning, just know heaven is celebrating today. I mean, it's a bigger party than it's happening at Lambeau in a couple hours. It is rocking because of the prayer that you prayed. And God sees it. He heard your heart. And he wants to walk with you. And we want to help you in that walk. And if that's you, I just encourage you. There's a comment card you can tear off on the bulletin. You'll see it's a communication card that you can leave in the back box in the back. Or you could see Pastor Stacy and I and Pastor Aaron, let us know that you prayed that prayer. And if you need a Bible, see one of us. We would love to get you a Bible because you need to be in God's Word. We heard it through the Spirit earlier in the service. If you are not in God's Word beyond just moments on a Sunday, that's like trying to eat lunch and then expect it to make you last. I mean, think about it. Yeah, if you've ever tried to fast, you don't make it too long, do you? You're getting hungry. And that's why you constantly have to take in God's word every day. It becomes a source for your faith, the strength and protection. And we want to help you in that.